This is Annette Eckhart for Bridge for Peace, and the message today is called A Righteous Heart. We'll look at Hebrews chapter 10, verses 36 and 37. For you have need of steadfast patience and endurance, so that you may perform and fully accomplish the will of God, and thus receive and carry away and enjoy to the full what is promised. For still a little while, and the coming one will come, and he will not delay. Friends, we do need so much to have steadfast patience and endurance. We need to be in the very center of the will of God and to allow him to use our hearts so that we can receive to the full those things that he has promised to us. And we've just come back from our Uganda mission, and again, when we're on mission and ministering to so many people intensely within a three-week period, we see so sharply the need to forgive and how unforgiveness breeds illness in the soul, in the heart, in the mind, and in the body. And that we all have need of steadfast patience and endurance to keep right with the Lord, to keep a righteous heart through the keeping power of God, so that we can perform and fully accomplish his will. Without a righteous heart, without God's righteousness within us, that our heart is in right standing with him, through the power of his blood, we cannot perform and fully accomplish his will. And we cannot receive to the full what he's promised us. And so in this scripture, we can make even today a total recommittal to the Lord, that through the power of his blood, through the discernment of the Holy Spirit and the wisdom of the Holy Spirit and keeping our ears tuned to the Holy Spirit, that we will walk through his power in righteousness, and we will keep our hearts righteous because he has made all things new for us. In Acts 16, verse 22, we're talking about here the attack on Paul and Silas, and that the crowd turned and attacked them, and that they were even beaten with rods, that they beat them with many blows and threw them into prison, telling the jailer to keep them safely. And that the jailer had received such a strict charge that he put them into the inner prison, the dungeon, and he fastened Paul and Silas's feet in stocks. But about midnight, as Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns of praise to God, and the other prisoners were listening to them, suddenly there was a great earthquake, so that the very foundations of the prison were shaken. And at once all the doors were opened, and everyone's shackles were unfastened. And the jailer asked Paul and Silas, "What is necessary for me to do that I may be saved?" And they answered, "Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. Give yourself up to him. Take yourself out of your own keeping and entrust yourself into his keeping, and you will be saved. And this applies to you and your household as well." Now, when I take a look at that scripture, I see a most incredible story unfolding for us, which I believe ties in with the Hebrews 10 scripture. You know, it talks about Paul and Silas being beaten with rods. The goal of beating people with rods was actually to bruise the bones. Now, many years ago, I fell on my shoulder, and when I went to the doctor with really very heavy pain, the doctor told me I had bruised the bone. And he said, "You would have been better off if you would have broken it." He said, "A bone bruise is excruciatingly painful and takes a very long time to heal." Well, as my left arm was really not functioning, what I found happened to me was that the right arm, couldn't really do much with that either, because anything I did with the right arm affected the left arm. So left arm was in tremendous pain, and if I did anything with the right arm, it only really made the left much worse. And so I was really very incapacitated, and I was out of work for so many weeks. And finally I said, I'm going back. I mean, it was better, but I didn't think it was ever going to really be healed, because now this is a long time ago before I knew about miraculous healing the way we know about it now. But I remember driving to work and trying to raise that left arm to lock the door on the car. And I couldn't even raise my arm that high to lock the door on the car. And I thought I was never going to be able to really use that arm fully again. Well, that's what a bone bruise is. And that's what they suffered, this excruciating pain, intentionally afflicted with this excruciating pain from head to toe, beaten with rods to cause their bones to bruise. And as if that wasn't bad enough, then you can imagine being in that condition. I mean, I myself can just remember that one bruise. But in this case, they were in that condition. Then they were put into an inner prison. Now, I don't imagine that the jailer handled them any too gently, because he was under strict orders concerning these two, and he wanted to make sure that they were secure. So I can imagine that he was just very roughly brought them into the inner prison, and once they were there, he fastened their feet in stocks. Again, I don't imagine that he would have been too gentle in his actions, because that was a brutal society. And what was their response? They were praying, Paul and Silas, they were praying and singing hymns of praise to God, but within their own hearts, what was their response? Now, I believe when it says there was a great earthquake, that was the main thing, that the very foundations of the prison was like the way of deliverance for them. The very foundations of the prison were shaken, and all the doors were open, and everyone's shackles were unfastened. And the jailer then asks, "What is necessary for me to be saved?" Now, when it says everyone's shackles were unfastened, that's kind of a classic description, I would say, for us as Christians when I teach about forgiveness, that when we forgive others, we unshackle them. We unshackle the chains that we put on them through unforgiveness, and we also unshackle our own chains when we forgive others, because then we put ourselves in a position where God can forgive us. So the unshackling of everyone's, it says everyone's shackles were unfastened, that to me talks about forgiveness. And Paul and Silas were forgiving. I know that. There's proof there. Because the jailer asks them, "What do I have to do to be saved?" And right away, they start to minister to the one who took them into the deepest dungeon, put them in the prison cell, shackled their feet that were already bruised, put these shackles and these chains on them, and they're right away there to minister to this man. In Acts 16, we see it. This is amazing. This is incredible. You know, in what you think in human circumstances, that they would have said to the jailer, "Hey, are you kidding? You know, it's time for you to get yours," or whatever they would say in a human thinking. But in the human thinking, they wouldn't be ministering to him because of what they had suffered at his hands. But here, because they had kept their hearts right, because they had kept their hearts soft, they were ready. When the chains were unfastened, they were ready immediately to minister to that man. Because, you know, even in verse 27, it says that the jailer saw that the prison doors were open. He was ready to kill himself. But it was Paul that intervened, said, "Do not harm yourself." Paul intervened for that man's very life, the same man who put him in shackles. Paul's heart was soft. Paul's heart was forgiving. His heart was righteous. He had a righteous heart before God through praising and worshiping, through forgiveness, forgiving this man. And I was very touched by this scripture when the Lord gave me that revelation, how necessary it is for us to be people of forgiveness, to keep our hearts right, that we can minister to every person as we meet them, not to hold anything in our hearts, particularly against a certain people group, not to hold any prejudice in our hearts, but to be ready through the power of the Holy Spirit, through keeping our hearts righteous, through His righteousness, by being people of forgiveness, people of steadfast patience, people of endurance, and then we may perform and fully accomplish the will of God, which we know is for all to be saved. He'll be able to use us, that we could enjoy to the full what is promised, that we could be used by the Holy Spirit. So we praise the Lord, because He's going to come soon. He's not going to delay. And when He comes, we want to be able to serve Him in the perfection of His will, which is that all would be saved. By keeping our hearts soft, we'll be ready. Forgiveness is the preparation to be ready, to be used for the will of the Lord in our lives. So today, I pray for us, Lord. We thank You that we have been made righteous by Your blood. And now You counsel us, Lord, to endure through steadfast patience with endurance, that we have need of that. Might we be patient with all as You have been patient with us, Lord. Might we keep our eyes fixed on You, Lord God. Might Your Holy Spirit do a work within us, anyone that needs to be forgiven today, no matter what the circumstances, Lord, that You would do a work within us that we could forgive others. We thank You, Lord, that we understand that forgiving doesn't mean that that behavior is condoned. It just means that we want to set them free of any shackles that we put on them and be set free ourselves through the power of Your Holy Spirit, through obedience to forgive as You have asked us to do, Lord. So we thank You, Lord, that we have been made righteous by You, that we walk with hearts of righteousness through You, Lord, and that You would use us, Lord, for all of the most wonderful promises that You have given to us, that we would enjoy to the full what You have promised. Thank You, Lord Jesus. We worship You today. God bless you. God bless you. He's our bridge for peace. And I pray that you would walk in Him today. This is Annette Eckhart for Bridge for Peace.